The oil spill disaster on the Kalamazoo River got a lot of people in Michigan wondering, what is the state of Michigan's oil and gas pipelines? In particular, what about that 61-year-old Enbridge oil pipeline that crosses the Straits of Mackinac? Any break in that pipeline would be sheer catastrophe for the Great Lakes. Ken Winter and Jim Hill have an idea they think could protect the Straits from oil spills, not with more state regulations, but with what they call a market-based approach. Ken Winter teaches at North Central Michigan College, and he's the former editor and publisher of the Petoskey News Review. Hello, Ken.
How are you, Cindy?
Good to have you back on the program. And Jim Hill is a former Michigan Natural Resources Commissioner who now teaches at Central Michigan University. Welcome to the program, Jim.
Thank you, Cindy.
You two collaborated on a guest commentary for Bridge Magazine calling for a new way to what? Keep Enbridge on its corporate toes, Ken?
The idea here is that I had a public policy class and we were trying to come up with a thought of how to avoid the politics and get into actually dealing with a concern we had, and that was who financially pays for any damages that may occur down the road with the pipeline.
Jim, what would this policy do?
Well, you know, there's four routes to go. Three routes that have been mentioned, and ours is the fourth. Enbridge argues that these pipes, if properly maintained, will last forever. Well, we aren't quite believers that that's the case. The environmentalists want the pipeline to go through the Great Lakes Submerged Lands Act and get a permit, and they think that will probably stop it, which it might. But that's court litigation and the fact that that Enbridge got their pipeline in before the Great Lakes Submerged Act was passed. The state's got a task force out there to do inspections and emergency preparation, but it's basically a after-the-fact situation. What we're suggesting is, you know what, if the shareholders of Enbridge got a taste of the true cost of a catastrophic spill in the Straits of Mackinac, recognizing that it's going to be exponentially greater than the Kalamazoo spill if the amount of oil is spilled is the same, about 1 million gallons, that they might want to think twice about continuing that pipeline, that its profitability may not be real, and that with real numbers out there, they may decide that either they have to make some major changes in the pipeline or maybe even withdraw the pipeline altogether.
Is there any idea what that cost might be? I know we were looking at about $1 billion for the Kalamazoo River cleanup. Have you crunched any kind of numbers that you think would impress those shareholders?
Well, that's an area that we're still working on. In fact, we're thinking that maybe it might be smarter to ask the state to find some economists or researchers that could answer that question in an impartial way and provide that data, because we're afraid that if we asked anybody ourselves that they may not be viewed as impartial.
And if I could add, the University of Michigan did a simulation of what a 1 million gallon spill would be, like the one in Kalamazoo, which is online and you can view. And I mean, it covers Mackinac Island. It goes as far west as Beaver Island. I mean, it is a huge spill. So if it costs $1 billion to clean up a spill on a river inland, you got to think that the cost of cleaning up the same amount of oil in the Great Lakes would just be, considerably higher.
Can you give us a sense of what's currently in place to regulate or keep an eye on Enbridge and its pipelines?
Well, the pipeline itself is regulated by the federal government because it crosses interstate lines. But the pipeline lies on the bottom lands, which the state of Michigan gave an easement to Enbridge to run. So actually there's two areas of responsibility. There's the federal government, which is supposed to regulate the safety of the pipeline, but there's the state of Michigan that has control over where these pipeline is laying on the Straits of Mackinac. So the problem is, I think the state thinks, well, this is really a federal issue. But I think many in the environmental community and others think, no, this is equally a state issue because they're on the public trust land.
Until recently, I learned that the state kept referring all questions to the federal government, and now because of the new awareness of the pipeline, because of Marshall, people are now trying to ask the governor to take advantage of of the authority that we have and start becoming more involved in the actual pipeline.
As you say in your joint commentary, Enbridge, instead of further regulating the potential polluter, in this case Enbridge, Enbridge instead would sign an agreement with the state that they would be solely and strictly liable for any spill caused by their pipeline. So as you say, let them back their words with their corporate checkbook. So here's my question. Let's say the state and Enbridge did this, shook hands on this market-driven agreement, and then that Line 5 pipeline cracks. You have that catastrophic spill into the straits, an environmental catastrophe. What keeps Enbridge from declaring bankruptcy and going out of business and then returning under a new name?
Well, that's exactly the beauty of what we're trying to propose, and that is that we just read recently that the Enbridge president had said that they really didn't want to insure for more than $700 million because they didn't think it was worth it. And our concern is that if we don't have something like this in a trust fund ahead of time, that they could exactly do that or do something else. And this takes the politics out of it because the money will already be in place and they'll continue under our proposal to contribute to that fund every year.
The reason why the BP spill was such a difficult one was because there were multiple parties involved. If Enbridge realizes from the start that they are going to be, regardless of what happens, weather, terrorism, doesn't matter what, if that line explodes, they're going to be solely liable for paying for it. We think that that's going to make Enbridge much more focused on making sure that pipeline is safe. And if they feel it is not safe, then they may very well just say, you know what, it's not worth it. We're going to shut it down on our own. And that way it's not the state having to oversee it or the state telling them to do it. It's Enbridge saying, now we're seeing the real costs and our real responsibility. We recognize this isn't where we want to be in our corporate life, and maybe we need to do another thing, and that might very well be to withdraw Line 5 or at least go down and double hull it or do something that will maintain and protect it because they realize the life of their corporation is at stake.
The line is already in place. It would certainly be understandable if they were looking to build this line, but here it is. It's been in place for 61 years. Why would Enbridge say, sure, I'll sign on this? Where's the coercion factor?
Two things. One, the easement that they signed says that they will be responsible for any spills that take place. And I think what they're really concerned about, I'm only speculating, I think they're really concerned about making major changes because they feel that if they do, they'll have to go through a permit process that might very well make the pipeline or at least delay the pipeline for some time. So I think what we see in this instance is, look, the state is not going to impose more regulations upon you, even though they have the power under the easement to do so. Instead, what we're simply going to say is, let's decide what the cost of a truly catastrophic spill, not a small spill. I mean, Enbridge has been arguing that the worst-case scenario is 8 minutes to respond. Well, it's almost a four-mile pipeline, and they have 23 million gallons of petroleum products going through it every day. It still would be a significant spill even if they shut it off, but they have to say, well, you know what? We've agreed initially in the easement that we'd do this, and now times have changed, and now with all this pressure, we're going to have to show that we're willing to take the risk. And if they're not, if Enbridge says, no, we're not willing to take that risk, then people should say, well, then why not? If you're convinced that this is not going to be a problem, then why won't you say, if you say the risk is so remote, why won't you take that responsibility? And I think that's when the state and the public should say, if you're not willing to stand up by this, then maybe we need to take a more deliberative action.
Do you see the task force that's headed by Attorney General Bill Schuette and then DEQ Director Dan Wyant, would they be the ones to approach Enbridge with this or try to implement that? Who should do it?
Well, actually, it's interesting you mention it because Jim and I were talking yesterday. You know, there's not a lot of public transparency in those meetings. I've had different friends appear before the group, and we're actually now thinking that maybe we should make an effort to present our proposal to the group because it's something completely different than a lot of the other special interest groups and people have been talking to them about.
But I agree with you, Cindy, and I agree with you too, Ken. I think that they have to be the initial point, but really this is something that the state of Michigan needs to say, and I'd say it really has to come from the governor's office, quite frankly.
Right.
I think the governor's got to step in and say, you know what, this is our greatest resource, and we've got to have an assurance more than just, you know, it's not going to happen or it's a remote possibility, because we already saw it happen in 2010. So, it's time for us to take a statewide action, and that would be either you guys agree to take full responsibility or we have to take measures to make sure we protect our greatest resource.
Ken Witter and Jim Hill, you can dive in to their guest commentary. Market-based approach will best protect the Straits from spills by going to bridgemi.com. Thank you so much, Ken and Jim, for talking with us today on Stateside.
You're welcome, Cindy.